1490 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Fellow Democrats watching and listening to see how President Biden does hosting the first NATO summit in Washington in many years, a crucial time with the war in Ukraine. The president noting it's the alliance's 75th anniversary.
When the United States was attacked on September 11th, our NATO allies, all of you, stood with us, invoking Article 5 for the first time in NATO history.
Article 5 of the NATO Charter says if a member is attacked, all other members will consider it an attack on the entire alliance, and it will take necessary actions. President Biden announcing at the NATO summit new defense systems for Ukraine to shoot down Russian missiles. President Biden has been working the phones, talking with Democratic governors, the Congressional Black Caucus, and tonight meeting virtually with Democratic mayors to lock in support. Former President Trump at a campaign rally tonight in Doral, Florida, challenging President Biden to another debate. This is ABC News. The Department of Justice says they've disrupted a Russian disinformation campaign.
Newly unsealed warrants show the DOJ has seized nearly 1,000 social media accounts and 2 internet domains. Officials say those accounts from X, formerly Twitter, used artificial intelligence to create disinformation, which was aimed at furthering pro-Russian narratives. The DOJ says the so-called bot farm was organized by an executive at Russia's state-run RT news organization with the support of the Kremlin and the country's FSB intelligence services. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Police in the Bahamas say they found the phone of a Chicago woman who disappeared nearly 2 weeks ago. Commissioner Clayton Furlander announcing Taylor Casey's phone was found underwater, making it difficult to get data from it.
We are trying, and the U.S., they even try, and at this present time, they can't get into the phone. We are still in possession of that.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has 1 or 2 per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People are urging Wisconsin lawmakers to do something about long-running problems with the state's prison system. Former guards, inmates, and relatives testified to the Assembly's Corrections Committee Tuesday. They described sexual harassment and retaliation by supervisors and food and medicine denied to inmates. Tuesday was Black Women's Equal Pay Day. The date symbolizes the pay inequality between Black women and non-Hispanic white men.
So Black women have to work all the way into July of this year to make what white non-Hispanic men would have made in 2023 alone.
Deborah Vagans is director of the Equal Pay Today Coalition. She's pressing Congress to protect all workers against retaliation for talking about their pay. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a 3-game series at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Colin Ray will get the start for Milwaukee. Garrett Mitchell off to a slow start at the plate. The 25-year-old center fielder just 3-for-17 with a batting average of 176. I asked him what's been the biggest hurdle coming back from shoulder surgery last year and then a broken hand this year.
I never felt like throughout the whole process that there was a big hurdle. I would say obviously, like when you come into spring training, right, you got to kind of get all of the soreness and like baseball stuff, you know, get back into shape again. So I think the biggest part was probably just kind of getting through the soreness. But after like the first week of being back, it was pretty normal again.
Basketball, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo packing his bags for the Olympics in Paris. Later this month, he led Team Greece to qualify for the games with a win over Croatia. They'll compete with 12 other teams for a gold medal, including France, Australia, and the U.S. Giannis is 29 years old. This will be his first time at the Olympics. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and muggy, stray storm or two in the afternoon, and a high in the low 80s. We dry out towards the end of the week, sunshine, humidity climbing, and highs in the mid-80s.
Right now, it's 76.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I go deep on the newly announced RNC platform. It is all garbage.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hidney Cutter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native-owned J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
You know, they've been, I am awake. Hey, I see what you did there. Hey, you know, they've been with us since day one, and I just want to give them a special shout out. Great coffee. And I got to say, tell you this quick story, Haley, before we get our guest on, is that when this show was started because of Standing Rock and, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline. And one of the big, you know, we went there three or four times, Wendy and I, and every time we went there, we would take 50 pounds of coffee from Steve's coffee shop for free to bring to people at Dakota Access Pipeline and at Standing Rock, and all the water protectors there were drinking Steve's coffee. And I just want to give Steve a shout out. He supports our community and with his coffee and with his just being him. So I just wanted to give him a shout out of that. That was like an important thing that I remember from like the beginning of the show, but also the show starting during Standing Rock and Dakota Access Pipeline.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for saying that. I don't think I had ever heard that story. So, wow, that really kept people awake out there, huh?
Yeah, it was good. You always had to have coffee around the sacred fire there at Standing Rock. And a lot of people donated a lot of stuff, but I just wanted to give a special shout out to Steve for sending me with all that coffee every time we went. So,
absolutely.
So we got our special guest on today, as always, and we want to bring Ruth on. And, you know, Ruth Buffalo is the president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. And we always love to have an update with Ruth and talk over things and see what's happening. Ruth, welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio. And we really appreciate you coming on, and we know your time is super valuable.
Yes, hello, and Madzigabats. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, how are things going? I know we had a fourth of a July situation here, and I know Haley and I were up at Red Lake, and that was the first time I'd ever been at Red Lake. And celebrating in a good way with the Red Lake community up there. And, you know, and it seems like it's been a couple weeks since you've seen you, but it's been because of that 4th of July experience.
Yeah, for sure. It was my family's first time spending some time in the cities. So yeah, it was nice to be together. And yeah, we weren't able to make it out west to western North Dakota, to Fort Berthold Indian Reservation. But yeah, we were here, you know, just having fun with family and family time, I guess you could say.
That's awesome. And I got to meet your husband for the first time and had a nice conversation with him. It's just great that your family is here and we can support you in the work. And then in the interim, you can support us here. And that's been just a great partnership. How are you doing? Has it been like 6 months that you've been the head of this organization?
No, not even 6 months, but yeah, it was good to see you both at the Four Sisters Farmers Market. That's where I actually got these earrings. I really love them because they're like super lightweight. Nice. And then the abalone shell. Yeah, I have another pair too. But yeah, we're, you know, in the process of transitioning down to the Twin Cities area and sort of tying up loose ends and things. But I took over the post, I guess you could say, or transitioned into the CEO position, CEO president position, March 4th. So it's about going on 4 months, I would say. March, wow. April, May. Yeah, this month it would be 5 months. So it's been good. I mean, it's been good. Yeah. It's been good. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of challenges, and a lot of it has to do with the way, you know, Native Americans are treated in the community, and to fight for our people and have all these services that you guys have in a good way. That's draining, and it's also really good work too. So it's what are you doing for your mental health? I guess, you know, it's good to have your family there, but you have to take care of yourself too.
Yes, for sure. And I used to, you know, lead a wellness program at a tribal college for 7 years. And so, yes, it's always like a good reminder to get back to the basics and sort of like practice what, you know, we were teaching students, because I used to be adjunct health and wellness instructor at United Tribes Technical College years ago. And so we're trying to incorporate some of the, you know, self-care and even like a half hour of wellness during the workday outside of your lunchtime. But yeah, trying to really stay grounded and I like meditation. And so I went through a process last October and it was really, really good. And it's a tool or a mechanism to help us heal, but also to change like negative patterns, negative thought patterns. And so kind of rewiring how we think and how we respond to different things in life. So yeah, I think of that. I think it's been a helpful tool, and the things that are provided, like, you know, we have access to and just different learning tools and things that really are there to help support. So it's really comes down to finding time to make sure and staying disciplined, but, you know, finding the time to take time to meditate, and, you know, just doing it. I think it's easier said than done, but to then get into a routine to make sure that it becomes a habit is important.
Yeah. And mental health is really important. And like I said, it's, you know, you're not only working and supporting our community, but, you know, you have a family and you have your own mental health, and It's stuff that we like to talk about here in Native Roots Radio too, is how are you doing that? Because you have a heavy load, and it's good, and you're up to the task, but it's still a heavy load. And, you know, we think of you often here on Native Roots Radio, and we're glad that you can come in and check in and tell us what your organization and what you need and how we can support you. And, I just really cherish the time that we get you on the air, Ruth. I really appreciate you and your family.
Matzigadads, thank you. I appreciate it. That support means a lot and goes a long way. And you're right. You know, it is a heavy load, a big responsibility, because we're trying to help, you know, the most vulnerable among us, and we have to be well ourselves in order to be effective, you know, and serve our relatives, our client relatives, to the best of our ability.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back with Ruth after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions, from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers, or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Ruth Buffalo, who is president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we just appreciate Ruth. And Ruth, you know, some of your history, too. I just want to remind our listeners out there that you are a state representative, and you have an iconic photograph of you being sworn in the first time. And that's kind of how I met you. I saw that picture, and then I think I saw you. Geez, I don't know if it was Wounded Knee or first time I met you, or anniversary of Wounded Knee, and you were speaking at a church there, and I came up and introduced myself. And then I don't know, were you at the presidential debate too in Iowa? Maybe that's where I met you too, or I'm getting mixed up.
Yep, Sioux City, Iowa, and then I was at a fundraiser for a women's shelter in St. Paul too, and
all that wrestling match.
Yeah.
And Mary State Senator Mary Kunish, and she was representative there, interviewed you. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yep. I remember. And then,
And then one of the things too I wanted to bring up, and we bring up with these old veterans that were on the when COVID hit, you were huge in and didn't miss each week. On Sundays, we did a Sunday night symposium, and it was a check-in all over the Turtle Island with leaders and what was happening with COVID. And we knew COVID was insane, and people, I mean, we didn't know how it was spread. People were taking their clothes off if they were work, you know, at the door and things like that. We didn't know. And you had so many connections and people you've known over the years that came on and spoke their truth. There was a doctor that first Native American woman doctor that you brought on, and I think you played basketball with her.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Dr. Shelley Tom. Yeah, I used to play independent ball with a group of Dene women. I was the only Northerner on the team for a while there. And then I later, you know, started playing with teams from back home. But yeah, when I was in my younger days, I played independent ball. And then for a number of years, it was with a number of women who were Dene, and all of them had played Division One basketball, and one being the first Native woman to play in the WNBA, Rinaldi Bacenti. And so, yeah, to Arizona State University. And she actually came to Fort Berthold Indian Reservation one year when Indian Nationals was held in Bismarck. And we took her around, you know, to each of the different six segments or districts within our reservation or community. And she, I think she even was the keynote speaker at the junior high athletic banquet in Twin Buttes. But yeah, it was an interesting time during COVID, and a very interesting time to be an elected office at that time, you know, because of, you know, in North Dakota, you serve 4 years in one term. And so we're pretty unique in that regard. Mm-hmm. I get the stats mixed up, but it's either one of five and one of four, one of five states. North Dakota is one of five states that serves 4 year terms instead of 2 year terms in the state legislature. And then also we meet, the legislature meets every other year instead of every year, you know. And but during the pandemic, yeah, like my first session was completely night and day to my second session. And my second session was right during the pandemic, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was an extremely polarized session. You know, it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, it was hard to maneuver. And I want to kind of jump back to that. You were so important, and we were getting 15,000-20,000 people watching us on our Sunday symposium, and that were checking in all over Indian country, and you were huge in that. And we had that for at least, God, I want to say at least 3 months every Sunday, because we didn't know what was going on, and it was kind of interesting. We were supporting each other in a good way, and Trump was president, and he tried to delist a tribe that was one of the first tribes to meet the Mayflower. And it was insane times, but it was good to be able to hear people's truth and how they were getting through with things.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I remember watching the inauguration of the new president, and I believe, I was, my family had gotten sick during the beginning of my session, and I was actually hospitalized, you know, 5 days with pneumonia, and then the QAnon conspiracy theories and all of that happening at that time. I remember one of our leaders told me, you know, when I got discharged, I think Thursday night, and I was going to go to the House floor session the next day and go to my House Ag Committee meeting Friday morning at 10 a.m., but I was told it was probably best that I head back to Fargo and come back Monday morning, because they had just moved all of my hearings to my bills. You know, they pushed them back a week because I was hospitalized. But because of how polarized things were, they recommended that I just not show up Friday because they had just moved all of my bill hearings back a week because I was hospitalized. And so just interesting things to look back at. And I remember even what was happening at the nation's capital. People at the legislature were scared to, they were afraid and concerned on whether or not to go into the legislative session on certain days, you know. And I was a member of some of Biden's policy committees, public health and behavioral health. And so it was interesting also to like watch the inauguration and things and see Bernie, you know, sitting in the crowd because I was a Bernie delegate, but got asked to be a part of like Biden's policy committees during that summer when he was, you know, running for his first term. And it was interesting, but it was kind of neat to see how they mapped out the first 100 days and, you know, what to achieve. And we sort of had a small part in that. So watching the inauguration, you know, on TV kind of hit a little bit differently because felt like we kind of had a part in it.
Yeah. And Bernie had his mittens on and somebody knitted me or crocheted me Bernie doll with his mittens on. I should grab that. It was in the studio.
I love all the memes, especially the native memes that were circulating through social media of Bernie.
Well, mine was a favorite was Thomas and from Smoke Signals. They were in the bus and Bernie was sitting behind him in the seat with his mask on. That was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was all Bernie. But just before that, though, I mean, when we were talking about when COVID first came around, it was interesting because there was no vaccine and we forget about that. So when you have pneumonia and when you're sick, we don't know how far that's going or who else is going to catch it. We have a short memory, but I do remember that when we start talking about it, it's heavy duty.
For sure. I mean, it was, and then, you know, the vaccines were a contentious item and masks were a contentious item. And in the state legislature, amongst the legislators and, you know, even trying to ask to sit on the outside circle of committee rooms. And I'm not crying around or complaining or anything, but just sharing in a little bit of that experience, how people weren't very compassionate, you know, and nobody really told me when I left the hospital that I would be almost like breathing out of a straw, you know, after you have pneumonia. And I literally like fought to get out within because I felt like the longer I was staying in there, I was getting worse, you know, and with different things. And so, I just had to get out of there. It was kind of a scary time. And so, cause I had an auntie, an aunt that passed away a month before that from pneumonia. And then, so my children were super scared and, you know, and then wearing a mask in the legislature after still trying to get your lungs back, you know, was extremely challenging.
Yeah. I mean, there's reasons why we don't want to remember that. It was pretty traumatic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to our friend, Dr. Stately, about this, and you know, Dr. Stately, and he almost died. He had COVID in the hospital and he was very, very sick and made it out of it. And that was before, you know, the vaccines and all that would protect us and make us less sick. I want to, we got like a minute left and I want to circle back and talk about your organization. And again, I want you to give us a quick update and how people can support you and support your work.
Yes, please donate if you can, you know, it is going to take some heavy lifting to get MIWRC back into a strong place and to continue being the historic pillar that MIWRC is in the community. And so
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Fellow Democrats watching and listening to see how President Biden does hosting the first NATO summit in Washington in many years, a crucial time with the war in Ukraine. The president noting it's the alliance's 75th anniversary.
When the United States was attacked on September 11th, our NATO allies, all of you, stood with us, invoking Article 5 for the first time in NATO history.
Article 5 of the NATO Charter says if a member is attacked, all other members will consider it an attack on the entire alliance, and it will take necessary actions. President Biden announcing at the NATO summit new defense systems for Ukraine to shoot down Russian missiles. President Biden has been working the phones, talking with Democratic governors, the Congressional Black Caucus, and tonight meeting virtually with Democratic mayors to lock in support. Former President Trump at a campaign rally tonight in Doral, Florida, challenging President Biden to another debate. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee is getting ready for next week's Republican National Convention. County Executive David Crowley says the Office of Emergency Management and the Sheriff's Department have been especially busy.
Making sure the attendees, protesters, vendors are all safe. But we'll also have to make sure that we have some traffic management as well, making sure that we can have the traffic flow going through and throughout downtown to make sure our attendees are doing the things that they need to do and can get to the different convention activities.
Crowley speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Meanwhile, a federal judge is ruling that a protest group that sued Milwaukee cannot march into the hard security perimeter at the Republican convention. The American Civil Liberties Union says Milwaukee's protest plans for the RNC violate its free speech rights. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Miranda Priestly is headed back to the big screen. Disney is developing a Devil Wears Prada sequel, according to Variety. Meryl Streep played Priestly, a boss who made the lives of her assistants, played by Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt, a living hell. Details about returning cast are scarce, but sources say the plot of the new film will center around Priestly, butting heads with Blunt's character, who is now a high-powered fashion executive herself. The news breaks just as a live musical of the story is set to open on London's West End in October. Leonardo DiCaprio came to the rescue of a fellow Hamptons partier. The Oscar-winning actor saw a drunk person leaving a party and came to the aid of the inebriated man. According to a fellow partygoer, DiCaprio helped the man steady himself on a pole and told the man to stay there. Page Six reports that the drunk guy obeyed the orders of the famous actor. There's no word yet if the man is still clinging to the pole or if he was Justin Timberlake. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray storm or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-60s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, warm and muggy, stray storm or two in the afternoon and a high in the low 80s. We dry out towards the end of the week, sunshine, humidity climbing, and highs in the mid-80s.
Currently at 75 degrees.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Amy Albright joins us from Discover Oshkosh, and she'll share some of the events coming up later this week. Plus, Ben and Deanna Malcor are in for their Moving with the Malcors segment. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with our other friend, Heather Keeler, state representative. And did you catch that, state representative? I didn't say state senator or senator or governor.
That. Or any of it. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I always try to give you more credit and what you deserve a lot. And we really love having you on Native Roots Radio. You have a lot of good things to say, and you're very articulate. And I really appreciate you spending time with us, Heather.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You talk about like how I speak, and I was in a conversation with one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about like, especially kind of powwow season when we go back home, you know, there's always that like home slang that comes back out, you know, when we go back home. And then you realize how much we do have to shift how we show up in the world to be able to walk, you know, in the outside world or the off reservation world or the urban Indian community. And it's kind of sad, you know, that I can't really show up the way that I do with my relatives and in my community and probably in my most authentic way. But we have to pull ourselves together because we know that we have to work 4 to 7 times harder than anybody else. And that starts with being able to speak in a way mm-hmm. that sounds like I'm educated, like I know what I'm talking about, because often just being native in these spaces isn't enough. Or if we sound too native, that's instantly connected to being uneducated, which I don't think is true. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad that you kind of said that, was this idea of how education plays such a role in our life and how it forces us to kind of shift who we are to show up in the bigger world.
Well, really, really good point, too. And it's fun. I was going to ask you before you said that to talk a little native, like, you know, point over there with your lips and, you know, all those things that we do, you know. But it's really good point. And it's something that it definitely is there. And it's fun, too, because I don't know, is it a difference between the urban and the res Indian too? Because I know the closer I get to my tribe land, the more resi I get.
Yeah. I mean, I think there probably is. I don't know. I think that's not kind of the, I mean, yes, I'm sure it's all different. It's how we talk with our families and our community. It's just crazy how different we do have to get out in the world. But I wish our education systems allowed us a little bit more space to be authentic. And that's why, like, I really love our tribal colleges and what we're doing in Minnesota around higher education with our tribal colleges, especially Red Lake. I know we saw you guys at the opening that they had in Minneapolis. But hopefully that starts to allow us to be more authentic in our education spaces in general.
Yeah, and I just have to give you a lot of credit, too, for what's happening in educational-wise. And here with Red Lake specifically, they had nothing, the leaders of Red Lake had nothing but great things to say about you and the support that you have. And it's a double-edged sword because we need to be in these places, but these places are hard, and how authentic we have to be, like even just in speaking.
Yeah, I mean, the work is really, really hard. I think being a politician in general or an elected official, as you know, Robert, we talk a lot about the extra stresses it puts on us. But when we're standing up for one of the most vulnerable, most beautiful communities as our Indigenous population, it just is so much harder. And we don't have the longevity in us. You know, I see some of my colleagues that were retired after 20, 28 years of service. Like, there's no way my mental health, my emotional, my physical, you know, self can do that, this job for that long. And so representation absolutely matters, but that means we need to have a pretty deep bench. And that means, you know, we need people now starting to think about how they can step into these spaces of advocacy, because we're seeing in Minnesota, Jamie Becker Finn is retiring. And those are big shoes, you know, to try to fill. And we're just not sure we're able to do that quick enough as we're in the momentum to really build a robust tribal relations community here in Minnesota. And so if you're listening to this, I kind of always challenge everybody to push outside your own comfort zone, because generations need us at these tables. It's not just for the offense and the fancy bills we get to carry. It's really about the defense. and what we have to do to protect our sovereignty, what we have to do to really protect who we are as a people, as a whole. And so I hope at some point, in some place, in some area of Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever our listeners are, you see value in maybe stepping up and having some courage to run in these spaces that we absolutely need you to be in.
Well, that goes back to, you know, it was, we talked about this before when we were doing the COVID stuff on Sundays, the Sunday symposium, and all these great leaders across the country were coming on, and there was rumblings about a person named Heather Keeler who was thinking of becoming a school board person, and everyone was excited when they heard that you became run for state representative. I remember that, and we got you on, I think, the next week. But how exciting for us, and what was that process, and how can we duplicate a process like that where we can get more young natives in the political realm?
First of all, I appreciate the reference to me being young. I'm going to hang on to that because some days, you know, I'm not feeling that young. But and I also maybe wouldn't use like my example as the footprint, because it was by total accident. Honestly, like I was just an advocate in my community. I was an Indian education liaison, trying to go to school to do something bigger in the world. I knew that I had to be at tables, and I had to have educational degrees to do that. And so I was going to school for my master's in educational leadership and did my practicum on barriers to academic success outside of academic rigor. And that's where I started to listen to my community and find out that lack of representation, homelessness, and food insecurities were a major issue in Moorhead, and went in and thought, I'm going to run for school board. And I tell this story a lot, and it's such a crazy, silly story, but there was just some white guys that were going to run for the House. And to be honest, you know, I'd never been invited to the Capitol. I really had not known what the difference between Congress and my state rep and what city council did. Like, nobody really talked to us about what those roles were. But I knew that my community had said to me months earlier that representation mattered. And I sort of figured, you know, I have a high regard and appreciation for white straight guys. I just think we have enough of them in the political landscape that I thought I should maybe at least run so my community had an option to vote for a woman or an Indigenous person. And then I won, and the reality kind of kicked in. And, you know, it was hard. It's hard. It was hard to navigate. But I feel like after 4 years, I know where the bathrooms are. I know how to navigate my mental health a little bit better. I know how to travel back and forth and take care of myself. And so I feel like I'm setting myself up to be a little bit better. So the Heather I was on those symposiums, I've learned a lot, and actually love to mentor incoming individuals who are considering running, because I think we need to have honest conversations about this work rather than glorifying the power piece of it. But really the presence to be able to show up for our people and our community is the beauty in serving, I think.
I'm going to say this out loud, and I've been thinking about this as we're talking about it. Our friends at Native American Community Development Institute, who really support a lot of organizations through grants and things like that, needs to probably reach out to Two Feathers and and really partner in that mentorship and get more Native and women elected. And I know that's part of your deal, and also them, and we can get you two groups together and really do some damage here. And we still have time. We have like 4 months before the next election.
Yeah. You know, I think honestly, some of it even steps back to like encouraging people to expand their education in where they are, because, you know, you have to learn and really be able to understand the solutions to the issues that we're advocating for. You know, it's one thing to yell around about something we don't like. It's another thing to deeply educate yourself about the economics around it, the impacts on it, the long-term impacts on generations. And so I think when we go to school, it expands our brain to think a little bit differently, and it allows us the opportunities to end up in spaces that maybe we wouldn't have been in if we stayed in our circles. And so I think advocacy and standing up in spaces like this also means we need to explore the opportunities of higher education. And I know money is always an issue with that. I know I'm sending my son off to college But there's tons of scholarships and opportunities for Native students to go to school. And I just want to also, you know, encourage that we look at that and how we can expand our intellectual knowledge to enter into these spaces with really brilliant solution focused ideas.
And it's a thing that's been happening slowly over the years. You know, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't have as many educated doctors, lawyers, and mm-hmm. teachers like we do now. But it's still slow moving. And I agree 100% because I come from the education realm, too. And it's so important to have students one, see somebody like you or Lieutenant Governor that look like them in leadership roles. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, like, I love when we have tribal schools or tribal programs come to the Capitol to spend time with us. And I will always do my best to clear my calendar to spend time with youth, but particularly Native youth, because I talk a lot about what the invisibility of us does to us in spaces. It subliminally tells us we don't belong. So, you know, I never saw teachers who looked like me, which told mm-hmm. me I could probably never be a teacher or a doctor or different things. And so being able to tell my story with our kids really allows them the ability to see us in these spaces. And I remember there was this little girl, she was like 8 years old, and was so excited to be there. And she was like crying in the corner. And I went over and I talked to her and she's like, "You look just like all my aunties, but you're doing this really cool job." And I was like, "That's exactly what this is all about." Right. I've always said I wanted to do the work that the little version of me probably needed in the world. And so those moments, though, they're kind of far and few, they're so powerful and kind of the reminder that though the work is really hard, we're doing it for the right reasons.
Well, that story gives me a big smile. And that's part of having the show and listening to people and leaders like you that have stories like that really, I'm sure, hit the listening audience too, because that, I'm a little teary-eyed after hearing that, because that makes all these things almost worthwhile. I know you have a lot of separation from your children when you're in the Twin Cities and those things that are hard, you know, not just the work part, but the emotional part.
Mm-hmm. I say often, I think the people who get overlooked the most as I get thanked for my work is actually the sacrifice of my kids, that they, you know, though we talk about it and they think it's really cool, you know, they miss out on mom time for me to go do this work for other generations. And so I just want to be better at acknowledging my kids. Gosh, now you're gonna make me emotional, Robert, make me talk about my kids, but also acknowledging the sacrifice that they do for the work of Minnesota.
Well, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, who I believe is probably a really cool mom. And so we'll be back and talk a little bit more with the State Representative. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and Energy Star's number one most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top-quality products. Until now, 952 Windows thrived on referrals and the loyalty of satisfied window light customers. They continue to support these customers by providing warranty parts for the 80,000 windows sold since 1994. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952 Windows or visit 952windows.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Imagine over 7,000 voices from around the globe coming together in harmony in Minneapolis. This summer, Gala Choruses Festival 2024 comes to Minnesota. It's the world's largest LGBTQ plus singing event. From July 10th through 14th, Minneapolis will be transformed into a vibrant city of song. Join 122 choruses from places as far as China, Estonia, Finland, Ukraine, and Taiwan for five unforgettable days of wall-to-wall concerts, workshops, and social events at world-class venues like Orchestra Hall, the Minneapolis Convention Center, and Central Lutheran Church. And don't miss Gala's first-ever Trans Fusion Cabaret on Friday, July 12th. This show will uplift trans, non-binary, and intersex voices and feature Gala Festival singers performing alongside local singers. Feel the energy in person by purchasing tickets at galachoruses.org or stream every performance live and on demand at galachoruses.org. Celebrate love, diversity, and the power of music at Gala Choruses Festival 2024, where every voice matters, July 10th through 14th in downtown Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
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 Did you hear me? I joined.
Yes, I could see it too on the other screen. I saw your neck went up like a wolf. I saw that.
I had to play the whole part. I had to make it sound the best that I could.
Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler. And Haley, I want to ask you something now. You've been with Native Roots Radio for well over a year. You know, what do you think of Heather? I mean, we always get excited when Heather okays a spot on Native Roots Radio because we know it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. I just got to say, the first time that I met Heather Keeler was at probably the MMIR something event at the Capitol. And that was the first time I heard her speak, as well as State Senator Mary Kunesh and Jamie Becker Finn, and all of our Native voices were there at the Capitol. And I mean, Heather's speech, I remember, just really stood out to me, and it really pulled on those heartstrings. So just kind of relating stories and all of that, and then coming, you know, getting to know Heather over the year. And, you know, she's just real and she's authentic and she's honest. And I think those are more of the type of people that we need in spaces that represent us and speak for us with, you know, other stuff going on. And I'm just really, really thankful to know her, and representation does matter, because I never considered running for office or even thought about it. And, you know, I was like, that's never something I would do, never in a million years. And then, you know, I see Heather do it, and it's really inspiring. And mm-hmm. it just, you know, makes me feel like someone like me can do that too.
You know, one of the things I like about Heather, too, is that we're acting like Heather's not here right now. We're talking.
Oh, my gosh. This is like the hardest thing to sit through. It's like I'm getting
compliments. Well, you are what you are, who you are. You know what I mean? There's no fakeness to you. And that comes across. And I just want to say this. We got a few more minutes and then I'll hand it back over to you, Heather. I just want to say this. There was one time at the Capitol, and I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago, that you said something during an MMIW speech, and it hit me, and I've been trying to quote you for these years about you telling your kids that you would never leave them and what that meant. And it had to sink into me to go, oh, well, that means, you know, people disappear and then the police say, well, they're probably out, you know, with their boyfriend or drinking, or they're leaving, they're sick of what's going on there. And they make all these excuses that aren't real.
Mm-hmm. You know, media plays such a big role in the narrative of who we are as Indigenous people. It's one of the reasons why I love Native Roots Radio so much, is because we get to speak our truth. We get to talk about really who we are and how we live in this world. But yeah, it was very clear to me as I started to travel, because again, I travel 4 hours one way to go to work. And I had worked in the MMIW, MMIR space prior to being elected, and had seen on a very regular basis how the media spins the story very differently. And I often go back, and when I'm in my Two Feathers world and I'm talking about it, I talk about Wyoming, because that's actually where my mom's from. We're from the Wind River Reservation. We're Eastern Shoshone. And the amount of Native women who individuals who went missing in 10 years was hundreds. And one gal went missing, and like the whole world went missing looking for her. And she was Gabby, and blonde haired, blue eyed, you know, gal. And not that we don't need to look for everybody, but why aren't they looking for us? Why isn't the media telling our story? And when the media does, it's often late. It's often around a narrative that's untrue. You know, they look at our maybe hard times in our life. And 20 years ago, we were an alcoholic, and I'm sure they went back to alcohol, or, you know, they went with unsafe people. And so I had to make a very public statement that if for some reason I ever went missing, do not ever let my kids believe that it was a choice, because I would never choose to not come home to my kids. It's, you know, I work very, very hard, but at the end of the day, I always come home to my kids, and I never wanted the media or anybody to ever try to convince my kids that, you know, I chose to leave. And so I think more of us need to stand up for that. And I think we need to say that more often in more spaces, because if you listen to the narrative, often there's a misleading story behind it. And it dehumanizes us in a different way. And I don't like that. And I work really hard to try to create our epidemic in a way that is meaningful. And so, yeah. And I get a lot of feedback about that statement, actually, over the 4 years that I've been doing this work.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I would never leave you. And that, like, I don't know if I blacked out after that, because it hit me. I'm an emotional person. And it was just like, oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
Because when I read those stories, you know, I always think about the people that are left behind, and the people that are looking, and the people who never give up, and love them forever, that the narrative that it was a choice for us not to come home is just so far from the truth. And we're a very loving community, and we love our relatives. And I think we need to acknowledge that better.
Yeah, you mentioned this too, that segue into that, to Two Feathers. And I always want to give Two Feathers a shout out too, because give out the information to our vast listening audience and people listening to us and watching us on Facebook and YouTube. And we're on X too. I just wanted to say that we're getting a lot of people watching us on that dreaded X, which we used to call whatever it was.
Formerly known as.
Yeah. Right. How can we get a hold of you with your work and talk a little bit about Two Feathers?
Yeah, it's fun, because Haley and I were talking about this, I think, last week, or I don't even remember. You know, the path kind of back to, like, who is just Heather? I think in the last couple of years, because I was never, the goal was never to be a state representative. I actually, like, it feels so far from the norm of who I am. But it's a title that gets, you know, taken into consideration a lot in my life, and really trying to figure out, like, who am I? Who is Heather again? And, you know, I worked in Indian country for 25 years before ever being elected in areas of education and healthcare, community engagement. I've been doing educational trainings for adults in those spaces, because often we know that the K-12 system does not educate us on the Indigenous history very well. Then we become adults and we make decisions in the world around education and healthcare, which are treaty rights that impact Indigenous people. And so I go out, and the main thing I do is I have a 1 hour or 3 hour keynote or workshop that's Indigenous 101, all the things you didn't know in K-12. And it really is a basic level overview of who we are as people, what the history is and some of our current issues are, and the reality of the timeline. I think often people assume these stories that we talk about, I'll use boarding schools as an example, is people think these are like 400, 500, 600, right, 700 years ago, you know, and the reality is like our uncles, our relatives, people are still alive who were forced in boarding schools. And so that's what I do. I love it. I love being a keynote speaker. I also do motivational speaking, because, again, I think I've gone through a lot of pain in my life, as many Indigenous people have, to find a purpose to give back to my community. And so I speak about that in a empowering, emotional, and motivational.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome producer of the Mino and the Mayor Morning Show and paranormal investigator Todd Michaels. And on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller joins the show to talk entertainment.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he didn't call WTMJ or WISN. He made the call to Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
From now and through the election, count on Civic Media to give you unparalleled front row access to the stories and newsmakers that matter most. Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. When you need real news and great conversation, count on the Civic Media Radio Network. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.